look at it.
Turn back to Genesis chapter 8 now. Last fall, Hannah and I were riding in my car coming back from somewhere. We were riding over one of the back roads. What was the name of the road number you used to live on, Mary? 756. That was the road. We were coming back over that. And you cross 640 there, and you go down, you come up on top of the hill, and you look out over a, you can see quite a long ways. And last fall, when the leaves were in their full color, we were driving back, and it had been raining. And we drove down through there, and we came up on top of the hill where you could see for miles, it seems. And we saw the most beautiful rainbow. You could see the start and the end of it. You could see the whole thing, just covering all of Franklin County, or all of Virginia. Great big rainbows, gorgeous, glorious sight. And it has a glorious purpose. There's a purpose every time one of those shows up. The scientists give their reasons for it. Say the sunshine shining through the clouds and does different things, reflections and so forth. And then you have a bow. Well, God put that there. And he said it first. He said, my cloud, you know, when you see a cloud in the sky, and I'll put my bow in it. You have to have a cloud to have a rainbow. He said that first. But God put it there for a purpose. A purpose. Well, let's look at some other things before we get to that rainbow. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. We'll get to the rainbow here in a moment. Chapter 8 says in verse 1, God remembered Noah. I don't think you're getting tired of this, are you? I studied it all over again, and I've been studying this for hours, and preaching it for hours now, and it's still just as fresh. Verse 1 says, God remembered Noah and every living thing, all the cattle that was with him in the ark. God remembered Noah and every living thing with him in the ark. The only thing living was that which was in the ark with Noah. Jesus Christ is our Noah. Noah means rest, doesn't it? Jesus Christ is our Noah, our Savior, our resting place, our Savior from the wrath and condemnation of sin. He is the one, like Noah, who did that great work of salvation by himself. He did that great work of salvation for his people in making himself to be an ark, a tabernacle for us to abide in, and a tabernacle for God to abide in. He was made sin for us. And back up in chapter 7, verse 17, it says that the waters bear up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. All these words are so significant, aren't they? God bears witness with his word. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men myself. And the waters bore up the ark. And Christ was borne up on the ark, or up on the cross, and he bore our sins in his body on the tree, and he bore them away. And like Noah, him only, chapter 7, verse 1, God says, thee have I seen righteous before me. And Christ is the one God has seen righteous. And I am seen righteous in him. And like other stories in God's Word, like Jonathan. Remember the story of Jonathan? And how that David remembered and spared Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. I love that story. That's one of my favorites. David remembered a covenant he made with Jonathan and spared Mephibosheth. And here, Noah, God remembered Noah and spared Noah's family because of that covenant he made with Noah. And so, God remembers Christ, the covenant that he made with Christ and his work, and he spared men, his family, his wife, his bride, and every living thing, everyone whom he hath quickened together with Christ, who were crucified with him, who were buried with him. Noah and his family were, as it were, buried beneath the waters, buried in that wooden coffin, went down under the waters, in the waters, and we were buried with Christ, but that ark came out and rested on the mountain, didn't it? And we were risen with Christ. And God remembers what Christ did and will for all eternity. Will never forget. The only thing he will forget is our sins. He will always remember that covenant that he made with his son concerning us, and he spares us. Look at verse 2 of chapter 8. It says, the fountains of the deep and windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. Now, those that are in Christ need never fear that rain of fire. God says one day it's going to rain fire from heaven upon this earth. We need never fear that rain, nor dark clouds. When dark clouds start brewing, we need never fear them. The only rain that we will see is grace raining under righteousness. The only showers we're going to see are showers of blessing. The old poem is, fear not, ye saints, fresh courage take. Those clouds ye so much dread are filled with blessing, and someday will break with blessings on thy head. So the only rain we will have upon us is grace. Grace raining. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians. Verse 4, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, on the mountain of Ararat. And Christ, after he finished his work, he rested on the holy mountain, didn't he? And after he had by himself purged our sins, the scripture says he sat down on the right hand of God. And like Noah's family who rested in the ark on the mountain with him, we are resting in Christ. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly. And someday we'll walk out of this tabernacle, just like Noah and his family walked out of that ark. And we'll walk into a land that is fairer than day. All right, every word is significant here. Look at verse 6. I'm going to try to just pass down through here briefly and get to chapter 9. Verse 6, it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And it seems that the raven did not return. He sent the raven, and he did this because a raven is something that feeds on dead carcasses. And he sent the raven to see if the waters had gone down and there was dry land appearing, there would be carcasses washed up on it. And that's why he sent it. But the window there, Christ is the window, isn't it? Christ is the light of the world, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In Christ we can see things. We can see things clearly. In Christ we have illumination, spiritual illumination. Noah, when he opened that window, he saw things as they were, didn't he? He saw things as they were. He saw things from inside the ark as they were, drowning. Dead things, drowning, the world drowning, the world destroyed. And that's what we see in Christ, don't we? We see clearly. We see clearly that God is going to destroy it. This world is drowning in sin. All right, the raven that Noah sent forth, something, as I said, that feeds on dead carcasses. This was sent by Noah to ascertain if land was showing anywhere. And eventually the raven did not return. And then it says, verse 8, Also, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, and she returned unto him into the ark. The waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. I love that verse. A dove is a peaceable, gentle, meek little creature. It does not feed on carrion, but it feeds on vegetation and so forth. He sent a dove, and eventually, verse 10 and 11, he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. The dove came in to him in the evening. The dove kept returning to Noah, didn't he? And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off, a symbol of peace, and the dove brought back an olive leaf. In verse 9, he put forth his hand and took her, pulled her in unto him, pulled her in again, and kept her to himself. Jesus Christ, these two things, I believe, represent preachers of the gospel. I mean, one of them does. The raven, I believe, represents false prophets, false preachers, who are dead, black-hearted, dead-hearted men, ministry of death. They are dead, and so is their ministry, so-called, and their people, their gospel, which is no gospel. And these false prophets claim to come from God. And there's a sense in which they do, because Jesus Christ is Lord over all, right? He's Lord over all. Everyone does his bidding. And I'm reminded of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, in that he said, he said that he would send strong delusion. God himself would send strong delusions that people, because people receive not the love of the truth. See, God first sent true prophets, didn't he? And because they received not the love of the truth, then the false ones started coming, and they received him. And God shall send strong delusions that they should believe a lie. So there is a sense in which he sends them too, to see who the people will receive. But the dove here, I believe, represents his true prophets and apostles. He said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep among wolves." He said, "Be ye wise as serpents and harmless as doves." So these doves, and they're messengers of peace, aren't they? This dove, little dove, had that olive leaf in her mouth. And God's ministers are messengers of peace too, but they talk about the peace that Christ obtained by the blood of his cross. All right, look at verse 9, and then we'll turn over to Hebrews 11. Verse 9 again, look at that. It says, "The dove found no rest for the sole of her feet." And again, I'm talking, this is a type, I believe, of true preacher of the gospel, true prophet, or all of God's pilgrims. "The dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. She returned unto him." All right, look over to Hebrews 11 and see if that this doesn't apply there. Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter on faith. It talks about Noah there. It goes on down in Hebrews 11, verse 12. It says, "There sprang of one, that is Abraham, him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable," that seed of Abraham. And you know, I noticed that back in chapter 7, it said seed, singular. Anybody notice that? It said that about Noah, too. Keep seed alive. Seed, singular. All right, read on. Hebrews 11. And it says, "There sprang from him as many as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore, innumerable." Verse 13. "These all died in faith." You remember our message on Enoch? And I said that surely somebody out there would say, you're getting too much out of that. And Enoch didn't know Christ. How did he know Christ? Yeah, he did. Look at Hebrews 11. And this just sprang out at me today. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Every one of them. And he mentioned Abel. He mentioned Enoch. He mentioned Noah. He mentioned Abraham. They all saw them. Saw what? Saw Christ, the promises of God in Christ. All the promises of God are in Him. Right? Read on. And were persuaded. They knew who they believed and were persuaded that He was able. There's only one faith, isn't it? Man saved one way. Enoch wasn't saved because he walked with God. He walked with God because he was saved. Right? And were persuaded that they embraced them. They received the love of the truth. Who's the truth? Christ. And confessed, read on, here's what I'm getting at here. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims, like that little dove that found no rest. Strangers and pilgrims, read on. They that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. That little dove was looking for a place to light. She kept coming back to Christ, or Noah. Well, yeah, Christ. And it says that they say such things, they say the same thing. They seek a country. Truly, verse 15, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed, and they keep to whom coming? That little dove kept coming back to Noah. To whom coming? She'd go out, and the Scripture says that in Christ we will go in and out and find pasture. Right, back to the text in Genesis 8. And all this is a picture of Christ. All these verses on down through here. Let's read verse 15, chapter 8, verse 15. God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, his sons and his wives, and his sons' wives with him. It says Noah went first, didn't he? Noah came out of that ark first, didn't he? Noah came forth first out of the ark, bringing his sons and his wives with him. Who's that remind you of? Christ, our captain, came forth out of that grave. Scripture says he's the firstborn among many brethren. It became him in bringing many sons unto glory, bringing his wife, bringing his sons with him. Verse 20, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, even though the imagination of man's heart, that means Noah and his sons and his wives, their wives, even though the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. Because he smelled a sweet savor. What does that tell you? The Scripture says in Ephesians 5, Christ hath given himself for us in offering a sacrifice to God for a... Anybody finish it? A sweet-smelling savor. And though we're sinners, yes, still sinners, God remembers them no more. He says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And God remembers those sins no more because of that sacrifice Christ made. Because of that sweet-smelling savor to God. He cannot smell our sins. And God sealed this oath with Noah, or his oath to Noah. He sealed it with a symbol, a token. A token of his covenant. God made an oath to Noah. He could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. Did you remember reading that? And I
Behold, I establish. Look down at chapter 9, verse 9. And I, who? Who is this I? The I am. And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your, there it is, seed after you. Singular. Seed. God made an oath and a covenant. And he gave a token. A token for that covenant. Look down at verse 8 now. It says, God said, spoke unto Noah and his sons with him, I behold, I've established my covenant with you, with your seed after you, with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark. Verse 11, and I will establish my covenant with you. Verse 12, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and of every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generation, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I'll remember my covenant between me and you and every living creature, and I'll no more destroy all flesh with a flood. Verse 16, the bow shall be in the cloud, and I'll look upon it. And I remember my covenant. But just imagine with me that one day, after all of this, Noah and his son, well, shortly, it says on down in chapter 9 that Noah planted a vineyard. And Shem, Ham, and Japheth were getting on up there by then. And I'm sure they probably helped him with a vineyard. Didn't help him with the ark. But Noah and his boys were out in the field, working in the field one day. And the sky started to turn dark with clouds. The sky just ominous looking, dark clouds covering the sky. And then it began to rain a little bit. It started raining after the flood is when rain first came. And then it rained from there on. We've seen a good bit of it, haven't we? But it started raining. And I just bet you that one of those boys said, oh, no. Oh, no, Dad. Knowing what a sinner they were, maybe Shem said then, knowing what a sinner he was, and knowing how that God had spared or had destroyed the world by flood, by rain, and by flood, knowing that he was a sinner, said, oh no, Dad, God's going to destroy us now. It's raining. And Noah said,
Son.
No way. God won't destroy us. Well, how can you be sure, Dad? God gave me his word, son. And God never lies. He can't lie. It's impossible for him to lie. He swore on his own name. He made an oath. He made with me a covenant. Ordered an everlasting covenant. And he won't go back on it. And he will not destroy us by a flood. He promised. And here's proof. Look over there. Look up there. And there's a big rainbow in the sky. That's the token. God said it'd be there. Look, there it is, a rainbow. A token of God's covenant. In the midst of that black sky, like I said, you have to have clouds to have a rainbow. And in the midst of that blackness is a glorious, glorious crown of color to be seen. All right, turn over to Hebrews 6 now. Let's look at this in Hebrews 6. And here we are, sons of Noah, sons of Adam, sons of Noah, sinners, just like Adam, just like Noah. And our imagination of our heart is only evil continually, isn't it?
But by God's grace, He has brought us to Christ. We've come to Christ by faith. We have been, the Scripture says, crucified with Christ, but now we live. Been buried with Him in baptism, believer's baptism. Been buried with Him. Now we're alive unto God through Christ, but we still sin. We still sin, don't we? And our sins worry us, don't they? They bring us to shame, and they make us feel guilt, don't they? And they make us feel fear before a holy God. We sin. Will God destroy us? No way. No way. Because He smells that sweet-smelling savor of Christ's sacrifice. But there are times when we say with David, we say, my sin is ever before me. My sin is ever before me. But there's something ever before the Lord. The Scriptures talks about the blood before the Lord. There's something between us and the Lord. Always a token of this covenant that God cannot lie. And He said He would not remember our sins anymore, and He would not destroy it. No condemnation to them that are in Christ. And though our sins are ever before us, there's something ever before God to remind Him. It's the blood. There's Christ. Christ is ever before the Father. And our sins appear at times like a black cloud over our head, don't they? And that's the way Satan would have us to feel, that sin's always hanging over our head. And again we say with David, my iniquity has gone over my head. Remember I said that? Psalm 38. My iniquities are over mine head. But look a little higher than your head. Look a little higher. Look as high as you can to the rock that is higher than I. Look higher. There's something and there's someone higher. If you look high in the heavens, you'll see a token of God's covenant. There on the mercy seat, in the very holy of holies, there's blood. That's a token of the everlasting covenant, a seal. And you see, we're under the mercy seat. And that blood covers, pitches, atones, covers the mercy seat. And that's the token. That token, like the rainbow that covers the earth, that blood over the mercy seat covers us. A token of God's covenant. Look at Hebrews 6, verse 17. It says that Hebrews 6, verse... No, that's not it. 17. Hebrews 6, 17. God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, the unchangeableness of His counsel, interposed Himself, or confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. What's set before us? I've already told you. The blood. The blood. Which hope, verse 19, we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. That's Christ our hope, who entered in with His blown blood. Look at chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You ever get tired of that, John? How many times have you read that and heard that? That's our salvation, isn't it? Verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience. If that rainbow in the sky purged old Noah's conscience, how much more the blood of God's Son? Huh? Purge our conscience. God said to Noah, when I bring a cloud and the bowl, it shall be seen in the cloud, I'll remember my covenant. The water shall no more become a flood to destroy. And God says to us, sinner, to you, sinner, Though your sins like a dark cloud are over you, yet when I see the blood, I'll remember my covenant and I'll pass over you. I'll remember your sins no more. Now I've turned to Revelation 4 and I'll quit. I hadn't even been 30 minutes. Revelation 4. There's some things to be seen in this rainbow. How many colors are in the rainbow? Anybody tell me? Huh? No, that's just... Where did you be at? Seven. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. You took art in. Seven colors in the rainbow. What are the three primary colors? Red, yellow, and blue. Those are all symbols of God, Christ's redemption, His deity. Blue is the Holy Spirit, the wind, water. Blue is water, right? Three primary colors. But the first color in the rainbow, you know what the first one is, the topmost color? Come on, people. Red. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. That's the order of it. Red is the topmost color. Red. What does that tell you about? Well, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Scripture said. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three agree in one. One covenant. Three bear witness in the earth, too. Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. In who? In one. In Christ. A covenant. Three persons that make up the Godhead, and in Christ dwells all the... of salvation, he bought it. God the Spirit is the sanctifier. He's the one that brought it. There are three that bear record, and these three are one. And like I said, blood red is the primary color of our redemption, isn't it? The token of God's covenant. And you know, someday we're going to see Christ seated on that throne. In the heavenlies, we'll see Him as He is. And you know what we're going to see surrounding that throne? Look at Revelation 4, verse 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne. A sight like unto an angel. A rainbow. I imagine, I wonder why. He said a perpetual covenant, didn't he? With a rainbow. It says that in Ezekiel. Same thing. Ezekiel. And another passage in Revelation I did not write down. A rainbow round about the throne. Around about his head, a rainbow. Well, I hope that was a blessing to you. Stand with me. Our Heavenly Father, we don't fully realize how much that covenant means to us. And the blood of the everlasting covenant. We just know in part, we preach in part, we know in part, we understand in part. And we just can't fully enter into it. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things that God had prepared for them that love Him. All because of that covenant, ordered in all things and sure, ordered in Christ, who is our surety, sealed by His own blood, made by that covenant, made with an oath, impossible for God to lie. What a seal, what a sure salvation we have, what a blessed assurance we have through the covenant, through the blood, by oath, by covenant, by blood. It will support us in that overwhelming flood when all around our souls give way. Christ then is all our hope and our stay. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground and confidence is sinking sand. And we stand on Christ. And Lord, make the gospel precious to us indeed. May we be firmly persuaded. We have received the promises. May we be firmly persuaded of them. So know whom we have believed. He who cannot lie. Persuaded he's able. That he put away our sins. And it's all sure because we see a rainbow. You see the blood. That you see the blood. Bless these words to our hearts, our understanding. Apply them to our lives. In Christ's name, through his blood, we pray and ask these things. Amen. You're dismissed.